Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. Well, as all of you know, it's Christmas time again. And if you don't know it's Christmas time, you ought to see what we got in the Ministry Center. We got, as usual, this time of year, we can't hardly walk through the Ministry Center because of the packages, you know. Is that right, Michael? I mean, we have got packages. You know, we buy Christmas for children. This is the 12th year. And Cheryl has something to say about that.
Okay. This past week, I had Kids Matter International call me. They gave me $500 last year, and they called and they said, we have $1,080 worth of Kohl's cash, but you need to come get it now because there's only 2 days left to spend on it. I said, oh, okay. So I ran there and got it and went shopping immediately. And this is today's the last day, but it's a one-time thing a year that Kohl's gives $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 you spend. So last week, I got $1,975 of Kohl's cash. Yeah, yeah. And it's really good. Okay.
Amen.
Then so far we've raised $41,300 in money, gifts, and gift cards. And we bought Christmas for 2,395 children and three families. And now, everybody do a drum roll. I have, yeah, really. I have Kohl's cash from last week and last night. Christy and I, my daughter, went shopping with me, and I have a total of $6,525 in Kohl's cash.
Wow, praise the Lord.
Yeah. And so last night we finished almost all of the Christ Haven, except I have a few things, like I have to buy some shooting range time and cheerleading, private lessons, different little things. And then I have to still buy $4,000 worth of Six Flags tickets. And then we started last night buying for Grace for the teenagers. They have they get the less amount. There's 2,000 children and 600 families just in the Grapevine, South Lake, Colleyville area that are needy, okay? Either unemployed or their house burned down or, you know, they just can't make it. And so what they do for them, they have a big old warehouse over there, and when you come into the warehouse, it's kind of the one part where they let them shop is about this big. And they give them $100 in coupons, and they can go buy whatever. But the main thing that they need most is for teenagers because, you know, everybody gives bikes and toys for little kids. And they always give everybody, I think, 5 books apiece. So it's real good, you know, as far as education. But they lack family things, so they asked me for what are they called, toaster ovens, and those are expensive if you don't know about that. They're like the cheapest one at Kohl's was $49, and then pots and pans, and the cheapest set at Kohl's, now see I still get 30% off, so you know I can't, and no tax, but the cheapest set of pots and pans was $44, and then I got 30% off of that, and it was only an 8-piece set, which is only 3 pots in 2 little spoon thingies, you know. It was like, I mean, you know, but that's what they just want something to cook with. It's really tugs at my heart. So Grace, we started there, and usually I give them somewhere around $25,000 in goods, and I don't know what we spent last night, but we spent a bunch. Christy's going back there tonight. They couldn't even finish ringing it up. And so they just kind of left it there, and one of their computers crashed because of it. And they worked an hour late, and the lady said, the assistant manager, and she's a sweetheart, because every day we shop, they give us $500 in Kohl's cash, so that's a beautiful thing. And she told me, she said, now when are you coming in again? Because you took my whole staff off the floor. And I said, well, Monday. So what time, you know, so she would be prepared for me. And I said, but it, you know, we went and we did, we would go to the hoodies and we bought the whole entire rack. Whoa. We went to the flannel pajama bottoms, because the teenage kids love that. We bought the whole rack. Wow. And they would just go, the whole rack, I think. Mm-hmm, the whole rack. And they would say, well, they didn't want us pulling the rack, so they would go pretty much do what we wanted, you know. And then we took they have a display of like a yoga pant, but they're like pajama things. This is another thing the teenagers like. It's a top and a bottom yoga thing, you know. And not that it's for yoga, but it's like they sleep in it and wear it to school and stuff. And so we bought that whole display, front and back of the, you know, it's 4-tiered thing. And we did the same thing with the fleece pajamas, a doubles, the bottoms and tops, and it came with a pair of socks, and they were real bright and colorful. So that's, we got, Christy went and she found this jewelry that they were discounting, and then they told us they had two boxes in their upstairs in their warehouse that was all discounted to be sent back, so we bought all that too. So they love jewelry. So, you know, they're kids. And so if you can help, I only have 2 weeks, two, count them, to finish the thing with Grace. With Christ Haven, I have 2 weeks. With Grace, I think I have one extra week. And then as soon as I can do whatever I need to finish with Grace, then I have to go to Salvation Army. And theirs ends in about 3 weeks. So if you can help, please help, and please help now, so that I don't have to pray a lot about money coming in. No, I'm only teasing about that. I don't mind. The Lord told me this week, he said, have you ever been short? And I said, no. And he said, okay. So that was it. So I don't have to worry about it anyway. This coming Sunday is our potluck dinner. It's our 6th anniversary of my husband building this church with about 3 or 4 men, six men. He welded everything. Everything you see, it's not going to fall down because he welded it. Anyway. It's our 6th anniversary and our Christmas potluck. So please, next Sunday, bring a dish that you have your favorite dish that you want to share. We also have teen challenges coming, and they're going to present their program, and that starts at 2:00.
Praise the Lord. Good day. Amen. Amen. We have a young man with us today that's from out of town, and he had a tremendous test. You know, all of us go through trials and tests in life, and some of us don't pass the tests, and some of us do. Some of us don't even know it is a test when we have it, but at least he knew enough to know that it was a test, and he'd been with our ministry long enough and listened to enough of our CDs and DVDs to know what to do. So I'm going to let him tell you his story about how he got his test. Brett, come up here and tell these people what God, first tell them what happened to you.
Well, I was in Phoenix, Arizona. And I was driving, and I just got unloaded, and I sat there, and I was done for the day, and I was sitting back, and all of a sudden, I had my left thumb started going numb, then my left arm went numb, then my whole left side went numb, and I sat there, and I just kept thinking, Lord, I said, Lord, I don't accept this. I know I kept thinking it might be the enemy, so I was like, Lord, I don't accept it. I'm not going to confess it. But I went to the hospital the next day, but I kept thanking the Lord for Psalms 107:20. He said he sent his word and healed us. He said, I sent my word and healed them. So I said, Lord, send his word and heal me. And Isaiah 53:4-5, he said, by his stripes we are healed. And 1 Peter 2:24, he said, by his stripes we were healed. So if he sent his word and healed me, and by his stripes I am healed and I was healed, then what's the problem? It's got to be me. So I'm like, Lord, I want to thank you that I don't have to go through this. But I had to go through it because the Lord had something to show me. It might be to show me to have compassion on those that are less fortunate than I, you know. But that's what I learned. But anyway, I called Brother, the Living Savior Man, I called Brother Dave Rosenfeld from the hospital. And he usually doesn't answer the phone and call me right back. And usually about a week later, but praise God. He showed up. He called me right back, and it was like that. And we stood on Matthew 18:19, said that it were two are gathered together on earth. And I know we meet that criteria. So he said, well, we agree on earth as in touch, which means asking anything we shall ask, it shall be done for us of our Father which is in heaven. So we stood in agreement on Matthew 18:19, and right then the Lord restored my left leg just as quick as I could snap my thumb.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Then the next day, we prayed again, and he restored the use of my arm. And then the next day, we prayed, and he restored the use of my finger. So in 3 days, God raised me back up.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Why did he say you destroyed the temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days?
You know, something like that, yeah.
He said, you destroy this temple, and he can raise it back up in 3 days. Well, the Lord says, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
So
Amen.
He raised me up and restored me. But then my thumb wasn't working. But when I got home, my mom bought a plane ticket, got me back to Ohio. I went out on the back porch and I said, Lord, You said, Mark 11:24, what things soever I desire, when I pray, if I believe them, I receive them, I shall receive them. I said, Lord, I desire to give you thumbs up. And he sat there and allowed me to raise my thumb up. And ever since then, God put me together.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you see what happens whenever Dave prays. You notice Dave prayed, you know. But the beautiful part about it, it doesn't make any difference who prays for you here. God hears the prayer of everybody that works with us in the ministry. But it is wonderful when you do have somebody pray for you and you get instantaneous results, that person will always call back for that same person. Is Dave available? We are glad that God answers prayer from all of us, and we are so grateful. Now, on with the teaching today. It seems like I'm always confronted in the barbershop. I guess the reason, because I'm always talking about Jesus. I'm not normal. You know, when I'm in the barbershop, I don't go in and sit down and just wait and do nothing. I go in and sit down and say, praise the Lord, how are you all doing today? Anybody serving Jesus today? Many times people will ask me this question, well, let's find out how good of a Christian are you really. What day of the week do you worship on? I say, Sunday. See, there we knew if you was a good Christian, it would be Saturday. Then people will ask me, well, if you're such a good Christian, what do you eat? And I say, anything I want to. See there, I knew you're not a good Christian, because if you was, you would only eat kosher foods. You know, you wouldn't eat shrimp and catfish and all that stuff that God says is illegal for you to eat. I said, well, I'm not under that law. I'm under the covenant, under the new covenant. No, you're wrong. So we're going to start in 1 Timothy 4, and then we're going to go to Romans 14. Both chapters, so the whole thing. And we use the NLT. I read it in both the Amplified, I read it in the King James, I read it in the NLT. But the NLT was the simplest and clearest spoken. So I thought, okay, we'll just read it in the NLT. So it says here, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from true faith. Some is going to turn away from true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Wow. In these last days, there's going to be teachings. So let me ask you a question. If somebody in the barbershop now is telling me that I can only eat certain things and that I can't do certain things and I can only worship on certain days, who is their teaching coming from? From demons. It's not coming from God, because look what the Lord says here. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, or the last days, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Now then, a lot of times, whenever somebody asks you something or they tell you something, I've got to where I just ask them the question, well, what scripture do you use to base your faith on for this information? Well, I don't know where it's at, but it's in the Bible. I was in church and I heard my preacher preach on it. I said, well, you don't know where it's at? No. I said, well, you know, I really think maybe you ought to go home and find it, you know, and then make you an outline so that next time I'm in here, you'll have something to show me. Because we were all at a meeting just recently, and the pastor had invited me to the meeting, but he didn't know me. I've spoken in his church, but he wasn't there when I spoke, so he does not know me personally. And so I was at the meeting, and there was quite a few people there, a couple of hundred, I guess, at least. And I was sitting right out in front of him, out there in front, about four or five rows out, and I knew him, but he didn't know me. And he said, you know, there's people that will tell you that God can create evil. You know, he said, they use a scripture. He said, now I can't remember where that scripture is at. I believe it's in Isaiah. I spoke up and told him exactly where it was. I said, this is where it is. And he turned over there and read that. And it says, and God says he creates evil. You know, he said, you know, but that's not right. That's not what that means. He said, God can't do that. So he said, you know, now, he said, now, if anybody wants to contest me on this, he said, don't come to me unless you have scriptures to back up what you're going to say. So I didn't say another word, not another word. I thought, I know many places in the Word where this is written, but anyway, I got home that night after the meeting, or a few days later. I went into my computer, and I looked up everywhere that says that God can create evil that I could find in my computer. I spent several hours, and when I got through, I took it to Jeff. I said, now, Jeff, here I have printed off 50 places where it says God creates evil. Now then, let everything be confirmed out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. Now I've got 50. And I said, Jeff, I'd like for you to take this, because Jeff's really good in the Word too, just like Dave. But I said, you're really a diligent person, so I want you to take the scriptures I've put in here. I want you to read them and then see if you agree with me and then see if you can add to it. Well, a few days later, Jeff brought me these sheets and handed them to me and said, Pastor, here's 20 pages. Is that enough? Of scriptures. 20 pages of scriptures. I said, yeah, that's enough. I said, one of these days when I go to another meeting with that gentleman, I will take this and I'll ask him if me and him can sit down somewhere in a room and have a talk. Because see, how many of you believe that God means exactly what he says in his Word? I do, especially if I can find it 50 or 100 times, you know, that ought to be sufficient. So you have to be really careful. In fact, go to Deuteronomy 32:39 and let the people see what that says. And then I won't ask you this question until after you see what it says. Look what it says. See now, even I am he, and there's no God with me. What's that next line say? Now, if I had to ask you a question, how many of y'all believe God will kill you? Nobody. Not one single person raises a hand. Nobody. I said, you don't believe God will kill you? Absolutely not. God's a God of love. I said, well, then how do we die? Who takes our life? In that scripture right there, what does that say God does? Does it say God kills? So if it says God kills, do you not believe it? In fact, the little girl at the bank, I get attacked in the bank too once in a while, not only the barbershop. When I was in the bank the other day, and a little girl behind the counter, she said, Pastor Thurman, let me ask you a question. She said, you believe God can do all these terrible things to us? I said, yes, honey, he can and he does. And she said, you know, I'm in total disagreement. I go to church and the God I serve is a God of love. I said, well, now my God's a God of love too. He is definitely a God of love. But I said, he definitely killed. She said, no, I just can't go there with you. I said, have you ever read the Bible? She said, well, of course I have. I said, let's go back to the beginning of the Genesis movement. And I said, when all of the people were wicked and God was very sorry and after that first 1,000 years that he had made man. And so he told Noah to build a boat. And he says, I'm going to destroy everything I have made. And I said, and Noah built a boat and he put 8 people on it. And then the flood came. And I said, I guess the devil killed all them people. She thought a minute. She says, oh, my gosh. God created that flood. I said, so God killed them. She said, you know, that had never soaked in on me that God killed all those people. I said, honey, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I said, if he killed those people because of sin, he's still killing them today. You know, we have a hard time with that. But is that true? Yes. Who do you think kills us today when we have all these problems? But see, right there in the scripture, it says, he kills, and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver you out of my hand. You know, that's kind of scary, isn't it? You know, the thing about it, if you learn that God kills, well, he's not going to kill you unless you've really done something rotten. Under the new covenant, he does say that if you commit the sin unto death, you know, and some people in 1 John have never read that scripture. But, you know, the first thing we need to do, I mean, just like Barrett, the minute his arm and everything started going numb, the first thing he should have thought about, God, if I've done anything that doesn't please you, I repent. And you probably did that, right? I'm sure he did that. But see, you know, when something starts happening to you and your body starts going numb, you know, your fingers, thumb, whatever, and then your whole side. I mean, way before it gets this far. As soon as it gets in your hand, say, Lord, if I've done something that you don't like, Lord, and I know I must have, I repent, Lord, for sins known and unknown. If I got any kind of problem with anybody, Lord, I forgive them. Y'all see where I'm coming from? Because God's trying to get your attention. That's why he started with a thumb and then a hand and an arm and then a side. He's trying to get this boy's attention. He got your attention, didn't he? Oh, big time. See, but after you repented, he was merciful and restored you too, right, Barrett? And you're grateful for that, right? Here he is driving a truck again. You know, I mean, in the shape he was in, he could not have driven that truck. But by standing on God's promises, he did. So you want to make sure that you do what the Lord says, because he is the one that will do this. In fact, when people tell me that God is not the one that kills, you know, I take them back to the, when they say, but that was the Old Testament. I said, well, is the book of Acts in the New Testament? Yeah, okay. I said, you know, how many have heard the story about Ananias and Sapphira? I mean, you know, Ananias and Sapphira had a piece of land, for those of you that might not have read it lately, you know, and they decided that Peter wanted everybody to sell what they had if they could and give it to the church so the church could meet the needs of everybody, so everybody would have plenty to eat and everything. So this couple goes out and they sell their piece of land, and it doesn't say how much they sold it for, but they said, we sold our piece of land, and now we come to Peter, and Ananias came in first, the man, and he said, Peter, my wife and I sold this piece of land for this much, and we want to give it all to the Lord. And he laid it there on the altar, and Peter said, Ananias, wasn't the property yours? Couldn't you have sold it if you wanted to? Couldn't you have kept it? Couldn't you have given God anything you want to? But you lied. You lied. You said you sold it for this much when you really got this much for it. So you have held back part of it, and yet you're lying to God. And he says, because you've lied, you're going to die. And man, Ananias fell stone dead right there in the church. And it says, fear fell upon the church. Hey, I guess so. You know, that ought to get any church's attention, you know. I mean, if the man of God is saying what he does, the guy drops dead, so he says, take him out and bury him. So they drag him outside and put him in a body bag, I guess, and haul him out there somewhere, and they dig a little hole, and they put him in and cover him up, and just about 3 hours later, they come back, and as they do, the wife walks in, and he says, Sapphira, did you and Ananias really sell the piece of land for this much money? Yes, she said, that's the price, and we're going to give it all to God. Why have you two made a pact to lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, the same men that just buried your husband's going to bury you. And bam, she fell dead in the church. Who do you think killed them? Who was responsible? God. And it says again, and great fear fell upon the church. Boy, can't you just see when God says now, and he says, if I were to just preach on tithing, I said, you know, God says if we don't tithe, he curses us with a curse. And so everybody, you know what you made today, this week, but 10% of that belongs to God. And so I'm going to take up an offering today. In fact, I'm going to put the bucket right up here and let each one of you come up one at a time and put your envelope in the bucket. And so Kim gets up and puts her money in the bucket, and Barrett gets up and puts his in there, and two or three do, and then all of a sudden somebody gets up and walks up and puts his in there and turn around, takes two steps, and they fall down. And I go check them. I said, they're dead. I said, let me go see what got their name. And I said, oh, their envelope says they give $20. I said, does anybody know what this person does? Yes, I work with him. And he made $1,000 this week. He owed God $100, not $20. I said, okay. So we put his back in the bucket, and I say, next. Now then, I will have to say, if I was one of those people out there and I was going to be next, if I went up there to put my bucket and money in the bucket, I guarantee it would be 10 plus. It wouldn't be 10 minus. You know what I mean? If I just saw a man that didn't tithe get killed like Ananias and Sapphira did, I know God is a God of love, Miss Jackie, but he is a God of punishment, judgment too, is he not? And so I ain't ready to die yet, are you? I want to live a long, healthy life. I want to obey the master, because I do know the master will not give me a spanking unless I'm probably well into deserving it. Y'all know how merciful he is? He is very merciful, isn't he, Scott? I mean, as many a times me and you should have got a whipping when we didn't get one, right? I know that, you know that, because we serve a merciful God. But he will do these things, and we need to realize that There's only one on this earth we need to be afraid of, and that's God. You don't need to be afraid of the devil. You don't need to be afraid of mankind, but you do need to have a reverent fear of walking holy before the Master, because he really knows how to hurt you. And if you don't believe that, ask Barrett. He got hurt. I mean, he had a stroke, and praise God that God forgave him and got him back on the right path. You know, the thing about it is, every time we come down with something like that, I have learned that when we do that, every time that something happens to me, I'm sure it's Barrett's the same way, because I think the principles are the same throughout. Anytime anything comes upon me, if I don't have to look very far to find out, where did I get out of my love walk with somebody? Is that right, Mary?
Yep.
You know, so if I get out of my love walk with my mate, I better look out, right? Especially if I'm a really strong Christian, right? Because he ain't going to put up with that. He's going to give me a spanking. Or if she gets out of a love walk with me, you know, God's going to give her a spanking. And we don't like that, do we?
No.
Have you ever had one of those spankings, Kim?
Oh, yeah,
you have. Okay. Okay. Now then, let's go back to where we were in 1 Timothy 4. It says, these people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. Now, these are the people that tell you things that don't have any idea where it's found, cannot back it up in Scripture. They've just heard it, or they're saying it because they've heard somebody else say it. And let me tell you, sometimes you will hear even men of God, pastors, that'll make statements that they really don't have anything to back up what they say. You know, so be careful. You know, really be careful. I mean, just like this pastor, he's a good man. He loves God with all his heart. Whenever he said that God will not create evil, there's no way. If I have 20 pages of scriptures that says God creates evil, then do you think God can create evil? And in fact, just to show them that day, go to Isaiah 45, verse 7, and let's read that one verse, and then we'll come back here. Isaiah 45, 7. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, how clear could that be? I've read that in every translation you can find, and it says the same thing. It makes no difference what translation, NIV, King James, New King James, you know, the Amplified, you name it. He says, I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now then, that's written. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's a done deal. If God said it and he put it in the book, I believe he can do everything he said he can do. Don't you?
Amen.
So I feel like I'm on safe ground. Okay, now let's go back to 1 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4. They will say it is wrong to be married. Now, we're beginning to enjoy the benefits of that right now. In this nation we're in, people are living together like crazy. I mean, they are living together. They're having children together. In fact, the other day, Rosemary, I may be wrong on this. Autism, what is the statistics on autism now? One in every 70 or something like that? Something like, and in fact, 50 years ago, there was one in 50,000 or something like that with autism. And that's 50, 60 years ago. But today, one in 70 children born have autism. One in 70. And I happen to be in a place where I run into a man the other day, and he had two children, and they were very spastic, you know. And I said, is something wrong with your children? He said, yes, they both have autism. And I says, how long were you all married before your children were born? He said, we lived together for 8 years and had both children, and then we got married. So they had both children out of wedlock. Now then, when God says, if you don't honor my rules and don't do what I say, I will curse you and your children. Now then, you know, most people, they just don't believe that God will curse children. But you know, when you go back to the scripture, you find out that when King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, what did God do to that child? He killed that baby. He says, and the Lord struck the child. Is that what he said, Gracie? And the Lord struck the child with sickness, and it died in 1 week. It didn't say the devil did that, did it? It says the Lord struck that child with sickness because of David's sin. But God told David, because you have repented, I have put away your sin. And that's the only reason I'm not going to kill you. That's kind of scary. You know, so I'm just saying, you know, God, he hates sin, does he not? But anyway, they will say it is wrong to be married and then wrong to eat certain foods. Isn't that amazing that it's wrong to be married and it's wrong to eat certain foods? And I mean, it's just amazing that between everywhere I go and gas stations and barber shops and everything else and the Home Depot, and I get into, I guess the reason I get into all these conversations is because I'm always talking about Jesus. You know, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm praying for somebody. I'm looking for somebody to pray for. You know, I mean, I think about how that when Dave and I and all of us were over there here a while back at Home Depot, and there's a little girl there, and she was, I think she was a little Spanish girl, and she's trying to check us out. And when we went up there with all our stuff, she's like this. And I said, ma'am, is something wrong with you? And she said, I have a splitting migraine headache. And of course, I think it was Dave. He said, ma'am, would you mind if we prayed for you? And of course, he's asking the question, and as he's talking, I'm on the way to reaching toward her. And as I reach, just as I get to her, I put my hand on her head and say, in the name of Jesus. And she says, no. Well, I said, ma'am, it's too late. I've already touched you in the name of Jesus. I said, your headache is gone. It is. It's not there. I said, see, Jesus just wants to do good things for people. I'm not quite as nice as Dave is. You know, Dave asked you if he could pray, but I just reached because I knew what God was going to do. If I touch you by faith in his name, he did the same. Did Jesus do the same thing with Peter's mother? When he went in, she was sick with a fever. He went in and touched her. And what happened to the fever? It gone. I mean, did Jesus say we can do the same things he did? He did. So if Jesus touched her and the fever left, I ought to be able to touch her. You ought to be able to touch her and the fever leaves. Right, Kim?
Amen.
In the name of our Lord. So it's just amazing. But anyway, when we do these things, they will say it is wrong to be married and it's wrong to eat certain foods. But God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Now, he created those foods to be what? To be eaten, you know, not to throw them out. Yeah, under the old covenant, if that's all you've ever read, the old covenant has a limitation on what you can eat. You're only supposed to eat certain things. But this doesn't say that. This says, but God created these foods to be eaten, the ones they said was wrong to eat certain foods. But the word says that God created those for you and me to eat, as long as we eat them with thanksgiving. Is that right? Since everything God created is good, how many? That's what I don't understand. You know, since everything God created is good, let's see what it says. We should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. So when I come to your house and you set before me, I don't care what you set before me, whatever it is, I don't ask. I just, if they don't thank it, if they don't praise God for it, I will, you know, because I will not eat without thanking the Lord for it. But when I thank him for it, I believe, according to the word of God, he made all those foods for me to eat, right? You know, so what am I supposed to do? Give thanks and eat them in faith, right? Now, if I eat them in faith, there's nothing wrong with that food, according to the word that we're reading in 1 Timothy 4. We're going to see it even more in Romans 14. But at least here in 1 Timothy 4, in one place, he clearly says that all these foods were made for us and we can eat them as long as we eat them with thanksgiving. Is that what he said, Gracie? Can you eat any food? Yeah, are you free to eat any food you want to? Yeah, you really are. Mary? Do you see that same way? Is there anything wrong with this? Am I teaching this wrong? Or is this what it says?
It is
That's what it says. Okay, so it says that I can eat anything. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks or thankfulness, with thanksgiving. So I do know that lots of Christians, and I've been with some of you that have done this, you go into a restaurant and you order something and you never bless it. Now, some of you don't bless it at home. Some of you sit down to eat. I remember when Cheryl and I went out to this Assembly of God Church in Hobbs, New Mexico. I mean, it was the first trip we made after we got married 10 years ago. When we went there, and the pastor wanted to take me and Cheryl to dinner, him and his wife. So we went to dinner that day, and they brought the water and set it down. Well, they grabbed their water and started drinking it. And I says, sir, I said, don't y'all pray over your water? And he said, oh, yeah, I forgot. Okay, now if you forget, that means you don't do it very often. And so I said, okay, I'll pray. So I prayed over the water. And so then we all started drinking the water. And then in a few minutes, they come and ask us what we would like. And we ordered, it had come with a salad and an iced tea and all this stuff. So then they brought the iced tea. When they set the iced tea down, they started drinking their tea. And I said, don't y'all pray over your iced tea? He says, but we prayed. I said, no, the iced tea wasn't here. I said, we only prayed over the water. So he said, okay, you want to pray over the iced tea? I said, yes, if I drink it, I do. So we prayed. And then we drank a couple of swallows of the tea. And then they brought the salad and they put the salad down. Now he's gun shy. He said, are you going to pray over this? I said, either me or you. One of us is going to pray over it. He said, well, go ahead. So we prayed over our salad. And so we ate the salad. And then they come, got the salad bowl, and then they brought the main course. And he says, are you going to pray over this too? I said, absolutely. And he said, okay, pray. So we prayed. Okay, we eat that. Now we're going along real good. And then they come back around about halfway through the meal and filled up our tea glasses. They were about half empty. They filled them up, and Cheryl tapped me on the leg under there because I'm talking to him. And I looked out. Oh, they filled up the tea glass. I said, okay. I said, let us bless that too. He said, you even bless the refills? I said, well, did God say everything with thanksgiving? Is that what he said? Did he say that? So who am I going to listen to, God or man? I mean, I think if I do it his way, I'm going to please him a whole lot more than if I do it my way. You know, my way was just a little pig, you know. I mean, you know, I'd run to the table, sit down there, you know, gobble down the water and the tea and my salad and all that stuff and never even say thank you, never say nothing to Jesus. And there's no telling how many times that I was made sick or whatever because I didn't know that I'm supposed to take it with thanksgiving. I didn't know. But after a while, God's going to hold me responsible. At first, he may let me get by with some things. But eventually, he's going to expect me to learn the truth. And one way he can get our attention is when he puts something on us, right, Barry? I mean, when he puts something on me, I'm looking to see what I done wrong, just like you, right? Because I don't like these kind of tests, do you?
I don't.
Now, I sure do like to get over them, though, don't you? Yes, praise God. I mean, I can guarantee you that Barrett, with what he knows about God's Word, and he's a student of the Word, he studies it all the time. I can assure you he will be even a better student of God's Word now that he's seen the Word of God work. I mean, you can better believe he'll be in the Word more, he'll be walking holier, and he'll be doing things that God's told him to do, things that before that didn't make sense. I mean, now he's going to be standing on those promises, are you not?
Amen.
And that's why God does what he does. He is training you and me how to be overcomers, Barrett.
Amen.
And sometimes he's had to put some tremendous trials on me. I've had some of those, and I don't like them, but I'm not the one that controls that. God is the one who controls that, I'm telling you for sure. But anyway, let's go on down here. Let's go to verse 5 and 6, everywhere. For we know that it is made acceptable by the word of God and prayer. Now, what makes everything acceptable? The word of God and prayer. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus. Now then, could we put your name right there? Could you put my name right there? If Thurman teaches these things to you, if you teach them to others, you're going to be a worthy servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what it says, Scott? It just happens to be Paul's talking to Timothy, but it says, if you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, or Thurman, or Mary, or Cheryl, or Kim, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus. Now, I mean, I don't know why people get hung up on what they can eat. I guess it's because of the Old Testament or the days when we can go to church. But I've heard that a lot lately. You know, people ask me a question, especially when I start talking about Jesus, especially in the barbershop. It seems like somebody will say, well, what day of the week do you go to church? And I first like to tell them, every day. I go every day. No. You don't go every day. I said, I do. I'm in church every day. I guarantee every day I'm in this church. I am not lying when I say I'm in this church. I come to this church. I come through here. The kitchen's right over there, and my office is right over there. I guarantee several times a day I'm through this church. I am here. I may be going to get me a cup of hot tea or a sandwich or something to eat, but I come through this church. I am in this church every day. I guarantee I am. But, you know, whatever I eat, I mean, whatever day I'm going to serve, when they say, well, what day do you serve the Lord? I say, well, I serve him on Saturday. Oh, so you're a seven-day Adventist. I didn't say that. Uh-huh. Well, you know, if you were a really good Christian, most of them, they serve him on Sunday. I said, I do that too. I serve him on Sunday. I go to church on Sunday. No, you just told me you went on Saturday. I said, I do. I have a healing school on Saturday. And I'm in church all day on Saturday when I have a healing school. Is that right? We're here all day. Now, does it make any difference with God what day of the week under our new covenant? Well, let's see what he says. Let's go on. It says, verse 6, if you explain these seven. Okay, that's good. We didn't quite finish that. So you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Now, that's where I want to be, don't you? Okay, now let's go to the next one, Dave, 7 and 8. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Now, I see people all the time that will start arguing. I see two guys in the barbershop is really something. When I get something started like this, you know, sometimes one of the guys sitting there said, well, if you're really a good Christian, you go on Saturday. This one over here saying, you know, that's not true. You know, we go to church on Sunday, so I'm a good Christian. And so first thing you know, we got a knockdown drag out in there going on about which day of the week. When I say, hold it, guys, hold it. I said, I want both of y'all to tell me what scripture you're using to make this rule. Well, I don't know where it's at, but it's in the Bible. I said, okay, then case closed. If you don't know where it's at, you can't produce it, case closed. No arguing, right? Is that what he said? No arguing, no nonsense. If the guy happens to say, huh, I got my little New Testament right here. Let me open it up right here and let me show you what it says right here. And if he reads it and he says the right thing, I say, hey, we're on good ground. You know, he studied. But that's usually not the way it is. They don't know where they heard it. They don't know where they got it. They don't know what scripture it was. They don't even know which book it's found in. And they might not have ever read it. They just heard somebody say something one day. You know, if you're really a good Christian, you'd serve on Saturday. And they might have heard that and think, well, you know, maybe that's true. I don't know. So all of a sudden now they've made that a doctrine. They don't even know where it's found. But they can believe it. But that's the way we are. It says, after he says there, it says, physical training is good. How many of you believe physical training is good? Then why don't we do more of it, huh? We all need physical training, do we not? Yes, my son, that's the way my son makes his living. He's a physical therapist or physical trainer. I mean, not therapist, but a physical trainer. And I will have to say that this young man, which was a good friend of Tim's, here about 3 years ago, this boy weighed 535 pounds. Unbelievable how big this boy was. And Tim finally convinced him, my son finally convinced him, to let him bring him down to a reasonable size and showed him how to exercise. And the last time I checked, I believe just a few month or two ago, Mac is his name, I believe he weighed 220 pounds. He's come from 535 to 220. When I asked Mac, how do you feel? He said, Mr. Scrivener, I am a different man. He said, I love my life like this. Well, I'm telling you what. In fact, Sharon has just been on a diet, and she's lost almost 40 pounds. And she told me the other day, just walking up and down the stairs without that 40 pounds, she can bounce up and down those stairs now. Wow, what a difference. Isn't that something? You know, now, you know, you may think that if you were to pick up a 40-pound sack of sand and you carried that around all day, every day, you know, and now I weigh 180. If I were to weigh 220, Tony, and I had to carry that 220 up and down them stairs all day, every day, I wonder how tired I would be at the end of the day. Pretty tired. But if I get rid of that 40 pounds, I'm going to be a whole lot less tired, right? And boy, Sharon was telling me how good she feels. Well, I don't mind telling you, she looks beautiful too. You know, she's really, I mean, she's, my hat's off to a girl that'll take her the world by the tail and eat right and exercise right and get down to a reasonable weight. You know, but that's, we all should do that, ladies and gentlemen. God says here, physical training is good, and it is. You know, if I ever in my life saw a time in life where the young people are not obeying God's word, I mean, people are not controlling what their children are eating. I mean, today I have never in my life, when I was a young kid, 10, 12 years old, there was no overweight, obese children in my school. Because we all lived out in the country and we worked. You know, we worked and we run and we played and there was no overweight children. Today we have too many children that live in town and this is all they do. You know, they don't exercise. They don't go out and work. They don't do things. You know, they don't do anything except sit around and eat. And then, I mean, some of these children today, I mean, unbelievable time. They're 9 and 10 and 12 years old. Some of these kids weigh over 200 pounds. And I see them all over the place. You know, it's time we as parents need to take the bull by the horns and say, you know, first of all, you know, you need to look at yourself. You know, are you 100 pounds overweight? If you are, then don't try to get your child to be, you know, that's what's usually the case. So many times people are so grossly overweight and then their children, you know, I mean, you just can't imagine how much better you feel if you weigh what you're supposed to weigh. I can remember when Bruce, a man that worked for me for about 5 years here a few years ago, he was just always tired. He was just wore out. By the end of the day, he'd be complaining, I'm so tired. I don't know if I go home, my son's going to want me to help him work on his car. And I don't feel like it. I said, do you know why you're so wore out? I said, Bruce, do you have any idea what you weigh? Well, of course not. I said, you don't weigh? No. He said, do you know how much you weigh? I said, yeah, 180 pounds. He said, you know how much you weigh? I said, Bruce, I step on the scales every night before I get in the shower. I said, yeah, I measure me dirt and all. So, you know, I want to know how much I weigh. But I said, I weigh 180 pounds. I said, if I get to be 182 pounds, I cut back or I start exercising more. I said, you don't know what you weigh? He said, I have no idea. I reached up and tapped him on the tummy. It was way out there. I said, well, let me tell you, you're grossly overweight. I said, you, for your height, should weigh 170 pounds. I said, tonight I want you, do your wife have a set of scales? He said, she does. I said, okay, I want you to weigh tonight and I want you to tell me tomorrow how much you weigh. He said, Pastor, I stepped on them scales last night and I weighed 250 pounds. Okay, now how much overweight is he? 80 pounds. 80 pounds overweight. He's supposed to weigh 170, he weighs 250. You're carrying around an 80 pound sack of concrete. You do a lot of work like that with stuff. How tired are you, Scott, at the end of the day if you carry around several 80-pound bags of concrete?
It'll get you tired.
That'll talk to you, won't it? Talk to your legs, your joints, everything, right? So I told him, I said, Bruce, he said, well, my wife and I talked about it last night. She said, well, I'm a little overweight myself, and I need to go on a diet, too. He said, so we're both going to go on some kind of a diet. So within the next year and a half, whatever it was, he kept slimming down. And I noticed he's getting where he has more and more energy, and he's not tired in the afternoon. One day, maybe it's 2 years, But somewhere a year and a half or 2 years, I said, Bruce, by the way, what do you weigh? He said, I weigh 170. Wow. I said, wow, you really do have a flat tummy and everything. He said, Thurman, I ain't tired no more. When I get home, I can help my son work on his car. He said, I work for you all day, and then I go home, and I'm not tired at all. He said, I said, when you were carrying that 80 pounds around, no wonder you were tired. I can only imagine, Mary, if you throwed an 80-pound sack of something on my back and I got to carry that all day long. No, I'd spend a lot of time sitting down, I'll tell you for sure. It's hard on you to carry 80 pounds of weight. But he says, physical training is good, but spiritual training or training for godliness is much more. Just think. Yes, much better. Physical training is good, but spiritual training is much better. Now then, we don't do that very well either, because if we were to train ourselves spiritually, when the guys in the barbershop start talking, they would know where to find the answers. If they were spiritually trained, they would know that they could go, if we're talking about eating or serving on a given day, they would know we could go to Colossians chapter 2, they'd know we'd go to Romans chapter 14, they'd know we'd go to 1 Timothy 4, and in those three books right there, every answer to all their questions is found clearly, right there. Now then, if they start spitting that out, yeah, well, if you want to know what day of the week you want to serve, go to Colossians chapter 2, it's in there. I said, oh, this boy's been in the book. Okay, or he said, oh, another one said, I know, let's go to 1 Timothy 4. I said, oh, okay, now you guys, now then when they start spitting out scripture like this, I'm going to start believing these boys, right? Because I got an idea they've been in the Word. What have they been doing? Maybe they have or have not been physically training themselves, but spiritually, what are they doing? They are training. In other words, this is the way you train. You get in the Word and you study the promises of God. And this is what I tell people all the time that come to me for healing. When they come to me for healing, I first of all say, have you got all of your sins confessed? And they say, yes. Then I say, what scripture are you going to base your faith on? You notice a while ago when this young man was giving his testimony, the scriptures were just rolling out of him. Do you notice that? He's saying, God made me this promise. He's quoting scripture. Now, do you think that makes the master happy? Oh, yeah, when he said, oh, Barrett, he knows my word. He's repented. He knows the covenant I've made with him. And so he's standing on these promises. So I'm going to heal him. And he did. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. But you got to know it. But this boy, I can remember when this boy first found us. He didn't know nothing about God's word. He'd come by and got a bunch of our CDs. He drives a truck and he listened to them all the time. He listened to them going and coming. And he began to tell me, Pastor, where did you learn all this stuff? I said, I got in the Word, Barrett. I locked myself up with God. He said, that's what I do driving down the road now. I'm taking all them scriptures. I'm locking myself up in that truck with God. And he said, I'm going to learn everything you've learned. I'm going to be just like Jesus. Well, that's a good way to want to be, right? Amen. Amen. And when you go through your trials and tests, you can come out on the other side a winner, right?
You don't have to be a loser.
That's right. You do not have to be a loser. Praise the Lord. Wow, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising the benefits in this life and in the life to come. Everybody is going to come to that time in their life when the life to come. I'm sure that most of you, how many of you have ever heard of this gentleman called Paul Crouch, the head of TBN? He went home to be with Jesus this weekend. Yeah, yesterday or day before yesterday, Paul Crouch, 79 years of age, went home to be with Jesus. 40 years they've been in TBN. He has built a tremendous ministry. In fact, I remember years ago, and he's told this several times, but I remember him and Jan, his wife, riding down the road together, and they're just driving, and all of a sudden, both of them turned and looked at the other one and said, the Lord said, and he said, what did he say? She says, he told us to start a TV ministry. He said, that's exactly what he told me, to start a TV ministry. Did they start one?
Yes.
Yes. Did they have any problems? Oh, no, didn't have no problems at all, did they? A constant line of problems, wasn't it? I mean, but God was testing them and training them how to be overcomers. And they have fought some of the most tremendous battles of getting that station, getting that network up where it is. It was not simple. They even had problems, of course, you know, even in their family. you know, you have problem with the nieces and nephews and on and on and on, you know, because TBN, you know, and of course the news media, you know, oh, this guy from TBN always stands up there wanting money. He has two jet airplanes. Do you not know that? One of them's worth $8 million, one of them's worth $50 million. Let me tell you, if I was as big as TBN was and I had to travel all over the world like he does, I guarantee I'd have that $50 million jet too, you know, because as many death threats as has been on his and his wife's life because of what they do, you would not feel safe flying in a commercial airliner. I wouldn't fly in a commercial airliner if I was as big and well-known as Paul Krause was. But so that's why, I mean, and when they say he's got 13 mansions all over the world where they live when they're there, I don't have a problem with that. You know, I mean, if there was some big business executive, they would say, you know, you ought to be like this guy. Look, he's got 13 homes. But that's not the way they do it. When it's a Christian, they run us down. So what's the deal here? Can't we be blessed? I don't see nothing wrong with it. You know, so he's got two big, beautiful jet airplanes. One of them, a little Hawker 800, only holds about 9 or 10 people. That's what Jan flies all over the country from California to Florida when she's running all this stuff they got and over to Tennessee. All the different centers they've got, that's the way she gets around. Her pilot, of course, she don't fly it, but she's got a pilot that does. But when they fly international, like Paul and his son Matt, when they go places, they've got a big one. I don't know, probably holds 30 people, probably at least that many. I don't know what it is, but I know it's a $50 million jet, and it will go international. So you can go to Israel in it. You can go anywhere you want to go. I don't have a problem with that. Somebody may listen to this tape and say, you know, you're all TBN. Hey, I don't have a problem with TBN. I'm going to be the first to tell you. I don't have a problem with Daystar. I've watched both of them. Both of them are teaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there may be some teachers on there that I don't agree with and everything, but there's some of you don't agree with everything I say either, you know. So what's the big, that's why I try my best to teach you exactly what the book says from the book, so I got as little as possible number of people that disagree with me. You know, you see where I'm coming from, right? I mean, if what I'm saying is in the book, if you have a problem with what I'm saying, then you need to get with God because it's His word. I'm just the messenger boy. Some of you want to shoot me. You know, I'm not God. He says there, do not waste time arguing over these godless ideas or godless things. And he says, and these old wives' tales. He says, physical training is good, but spiritual training is, or physical, but training for godliness, that reads exactly opposite. It does in the King James. Much better promises. It's just amazing that we need to train spiritual. How much, and let me get you to give me some input from you. How much physical training do you think we should do in a day? Physical training. 5 minutes, 15 minutes? What do you think? Oh, an hour? Wow. I'm gonna put her under the back burner. That's whoo. Am I gotta work out for an hour? Whoa, you know that's
I worked out for 8-9 hours yesterday.
Yeah, she was a shopping. Yeah, that's for sure. She was shopping 9 hours. She really did work out, I'll say that. Well, but okay, so anyway, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour walk or something, you know, like Dave and his wife, they walk down to the end of the road and back nearly every night, you know, so that doesn't hurt us, you know, getting a little exercise does not hurt us. But when it comes to spiritual training, how much time do you think we should spend in the Word every day? Just give me a number. Somebody give me a number. How much?
2 hours.
2 hours. 8 hours. Woo, Barrett, I mean, you see what happens when you've been tested like he, now he wants to be to work 8 hours a day. I know, but anybody else? Gracie, how much time you think it would be good if we to spend in the Word every day?
Like 2 or 3 hours?
2 or 3 hours? Wouldn't that be awesome? But now then, and I'm not going to ask you how many of y'all do that, because I don't think very few of us really spend 2 or 3 hours a day in the Word. Sometimes I may go through a whole day and I may sit down at my computer in the evening, and sometimes I may go through a whole day and not spend any time in the Word. That does happen. You know, I'll get real busy doing something and I'll spend all day and I'll work and do everything and I won't spend any time in the Word. But then when it comes Saturday and Sunday, I make up for it. because I'm in the Word, I mean, all the time. I mean, I may spend 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours on Saturday. I may go in there and sit down in my computer at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon, and except to get up to go to the bathroom, I'm still there at midnight at night. You know, so I spend lots of time reading the Word, you know, sometimes. So I don't know how much I spend in a whole week. But I will have to say, the more time you spend in the Word, the better off you are. I know that. So if you can't spend 8 hours in a day, like Barrett said, he'd love to spend 8 hours a day. If you can't do that, if you can spend what Kim said, 2 hours, and if you can't do that, if you can spend 30 minutes, hey, just spend some time with God. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. Spend some time with the Lord. He loves it. He loves for you to snuggle up with Him in His Word. Okay, let's see what verse 9 and 10 says. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Are you glad you're a believer? He is the Savior of everybody, and He would save everybody if they would come to Him, but they're not all coming to Him. And they're not coming to Him because we are not spending enough time talking with people about Jesus. You know, there's lots of us, just like I was most of my life, my earlier life. I was real busy working, going to school, getting an education, doing all kinds of things. And I never spent any time at all with God in the course of a day. I hope nobody has been guilty of that like I was, but I got a feeling some of y'all just like me. You know, that you spent your whole day busy. Mary, when you was working, did you ever get caught up in that? You're so busy working hard and getting things, then go to the grocery store and coming home and getting there, and the day's come and gone, and you didn't open it at all.
Yeah.
You've done that like me, huh? Tony, you ever done that too? Unfortunately, I guess we all have. But that's unfortunate. Well, I'm glad He's a merciful God, aren't y'all? Wow. Our hope is in the living God. Wow. Verse 11 and 12. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Okay, now what did He tell me to tell you all to do? Today I'm telling you to learn these things and I'm going to insist that you know them. Is that what He told me to do, Scott? I insist that we learn. He's talking to me too, right? I insist. He is saying, I insist that you people learn my word. You know, arm yourself with the word. Because when you need it, when you need it like you need it, it ain't time to go try to learn it then, is it, Barrett?
No, it's a bad time.
That was not a good time to say, Lord, give me another month or two to study a little in the word. You needed the word in your heart right then, didn't you? And it worked. That's right. Yeah, and it worked. If you get that, why do you think the Lord told us study to show yourself approved unto God?
So that way, when the enemy attacks us, that we got something to.
That's in other words, we can pull out that big gleaming sword and cut his head off. Right now, then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you pull that thing out and you got a little bitty blade on it, about a quarter inch long. You know one scripture, for God so loved the world. Maybe you don't even know that. Are you in trouble when your little sword's about that long? Now, when you reach over and get that thing and pull it out, if you're in a situation like he was and the enemy's attacking you, or God sent the enemy to attack you with a stroke, you better have a long, gleaming sword, right?
That's what I did. I pulled out the word.
Amen. Boy, that's when we need it, isn't it, Barrett?
That was my hope, brother.
Yeah. He says, teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Oh, I'm so glad that y'all think I'm so young. Praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing that Timothy was a young boy? He really was. But you know, it doesn't make any difference if you're 30 years old like he probably was, or if you're 75 years old like me. It doesn't make any difference how old you are. We need to get in there and learn these principles and really hide them in our heart. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Now, that doesn't make it how old you are, does it? You want to be an example of Jesus to everybody around you. Right? You want to walk in love. You want to walk in faith. You want to walk in purity and holiness. You're going to watch what you say. You're going to tell people about Jesus. That's what he wants you to do. Wow. And your faith and your purity. Wow. Do you know that something that Jack and I was talking about outside a while ago before we came in here, that Jack made a statement. The scripture says, will I find faith on the earth when I come again? Well, do you know that I hope that those of us who are attached to this little church, I hope we have some faith, don't you? Amen. That we've learned to stand on his word. Now, let me explain to you how this faith works. Here in the last, well, maybe it's been a couple of years since I've had a problem, but before that, years ago, when I was working as an engineer, I was in a boiler room, and a young boy didn't know I was between the boilers, and so he pulled a big manual blowdown valve over here to blow down a great big boiler with a big 2-inch blowdown line on it, and that 250-degree water in that boiler hit the floor and gushed all over my left leg. Now, if you don't think 250 degrees is hot, of course I screamed, turn it off. Well, he turned it off right quick, but I mean, from right under my knee all the way to my foot, I mean, I run over there and I jerk my shoe off, and I didn't have a boot on, I had a shoe, so I took my shoe off and I pulled my bridge leg up, and he said, I got to go with the manager. And he went and got the general manager, and he came and he looked, he said, oh God, Thurman, we've ruined you. He said, you got first, second, third degree burns all the way from your knee all the way down to your foot. Skin just came off. You know what happens to a chicken when you dip them in 250 degree scalding water? You know how the skin just comes off? Anybody ever done that? You know what I mean, right? When you dump 250 degrees water and steam on your leg, guess what it does to the skin? It just cleans it off. I mean, it just takes it away. Now then, it depends on how many layers, how far down. But they took me to the hospital there at DFW Airport, and the doctor said, well, you did a really good job of debriefing yourself. He said, there's not hardly any skin left to pull off. It's already all burned off. Mary, you understood that term, right? I didn't know what that meant, but he did. And so I said, what's the deal? He said, well, we'll probably have to do some skin grafts, and it's going to be at least 8 weeks before you can go back to work. I said, Doc, I am a man of faith. Now, you know, you don't hear many people say that. I am a man of faith. And God said in his word, whatever I say with my mouth, if I can believe it with my heart, I can have it. Is that what he said? Okay, now, if I really believe that, what can I say? Okay, it's going to take, I'm going to be off work for 8 weeks, and I can't go back to work until all this therapy, and 8 weeks now, and go back to work. If that's what I believe and that's what I say, that's what's going to happen. But Jesus said, and he's dangerous to try to follow, but he said, whatever I say, is that right?
Amen.
Whatever. So what do you think I'm going to say?
What he said.
I'm going to believe a whole lot quicker in 8 weeks. Now, you know, if I had the faith, I could say I'm going back to work tomorrow, but I wasn't there. But I did say, this happened on Monday. I said, next Monday, I will be back on the job with no problem. My leg will be healed in a week. He knew I was crazy. He's a doctor. Any good doctor would know I was crazy, right, Jack? Sure. But who's the best doctor in the world?
Jesus.
And if Jesus said it, if I can believe it, well, guess what he's going to do? So I'm going to believe that with no doubt in my heart that my skin is going to grow back and everything, and I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to be able to go back to work in a week. Who knows? I may still have a few little places that are growing back together. But I still believe that I'm going to be able to wear a shoe and I'm going to be able to go to work, and nobody's going to know I got all the meat burned off my left leg from the knee down. I'm okay. And I did that, and by the next Monday, when I went back in Thursday, or Friday was, that doctor had checked me, he could not believe what my leg looked like. He said, I never seen a leg healed that quick, burned that bad. Who was doing what? I was exercising my faith in the Lord, in the Word of God, right? And what was Jesus doing? He was fulfilling what I was saying from his word. And so by Monday, when I went back in, I went to work, and the doctor said, well, come back and see me Monday. And I went on, and he said, sir, I never seen anything like this. But he said, you're okay. You can go ahead and go back to work. He said, I never saw a burn healed that fast. But now, how much faith do we have? Not very much. We're supposed to exercise our faith according to that scripture, right? And then our purity, right? So if we're walking pure and holy and obedient to his word, Jesus said, whatever you say with your mouth, if you can believe it with your heart, you can have it. Is that what he said, Scott?
Yes.
Do we have enough faith to believe that? We're working on it, aren't we? And so I did it. So anyway, after I went back to work, several years later, I started having a little attack. About 4, 5, 6 years ago, I started having attacked of blood. It looked like a blood clot in my left leg. I mean, the first time it happened, it was awful. My leg all got all bloody red, and Cheryl, and of course, she called Ty. He's a doctor, and of course, he was my associate pastor at the time, and he came over, and oh, my goodness gracious, he looked at me, and he says, I mean, you got a blood clot. He said, if you wasn't such a great man of faith, I'd take you to the hospital and do surgery on you right now. I said, but you know I ain't going to no hospital. Ain't nobody going to do no surgery on me but Jesus. He said, well, yes, I know that. So he said, will you do something for me? I said, what? He said, get in that bed, lay down on your back, put your foot up 6 or 8 inches, elevate it up like that so the blood will flow, because that if that blood clot were to come loose and it were to get to your heart or your brain, he said, it's over. You're dead. And so, of course, I listened, and I said, okay. So I got down on my back, and of course, Cheryl prayed over me, and he prayed over me. They anointed me with oil. They did everything. So I lay there for 2 or 3 or 4 days, and then everything got normal, and I got up and went back to work. Well, about every 2 to 4 months, I would have this. Finally, I said, okay. I had it one day. Every time I did the same thing. I'd lay there just like they told me. I'd lay there. And they'd anoint me with oil. Cheryl would pray over. She'd come in every 2 hours and pray over me and anoint me with oil. I was so slick, I couldn't hardly stay in the bed. She wanted me healed. So she's doing everything she knew to do. And this woman could pray, let me tell you. I mean, she is a good wife. That girl knows how to pray, and she can put that oil on you, boy. I mean, she can slick you right up. So anyway, finally, after this happened for 2 or 3 or 4 months, whatever it was, finally, the last time, which was how long ago, honey? A couple of years ago or a year and a half or something? Been a while, hadn't it?
It's been over a year.
Been over a year. Okay. I woke up one morning and my leg was red. I said, wow, got a problem with my leg. She looked at it and said, oh, my goodness gracious. She said, you got to get you back in the bed, get you up, elevated, feet up, all that. I said, no. I said, I have failed my test every time up till now. I said, but today I ain't failing my test. Jesus says, whatever I desire when I pray, believe I've received it, and it's mine. Did he say that, Mary? Can we trust the Master?
Yeah,
yes, we can. I mean, up to now, I haven't been, but today I'm going to. And I'll say, it's done. I said, honey, sick people stay in bed. Well people go to work. And so I believe I'm well. I ain't having this no more. I now know why I've had it so many times, because every time the Lord gives me this test, I fail it. I go to bed, and I wait 2 or 3 days before I get up. I wait till his symptoms appear to be going away before I get up and start doing anything. But I said, today, I ain't doing that. Today, I'm going to work. Oh, she was fussing at me. Get back in that bed. I said, nope, woman, no, this time. I said, I want you to remember who's in charge of this house, me, not you. So you, I said, you can sit down in that bed if you want to, but I'm going to work. She tried everything to talk me out of that because she loves me. You know? But I went to work. I didn't call her nothing all day. I worked all day. That afternoon when I come in, she says, what's your leg look like? I said, I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I don't care. It's healed. I said, the word says it's healed, so I know it's healed. She says, can I look at it? I said, sure. So I go in there, pull my britches leg up, and I said, look. And she says, it's completely normal. I said, I told you that if I would pass my test and believe God's word, that he would heal that for me. And he did. And of course, like she said, it's been over a year and I've had no second attacks whatsoever. But I had every time I did, when I couldn't stay with it. But when Jack and I was talking, is Jesus going to find faith on earth when he comes again? I hope he doesn't look at me and say, you have no faith. I don't want to hear that, do you? What do you want the Master to say?
Well done.
Hey, well done, faithful servant. Praise God. That's what I want to hear. But you know, to do that, you've got to stay in this book and you've got to really learn to trust the Master, right? When you learn to trust Him. And let's go see, I think there's only two more verses. No, 16 verses, alto. Until I get there, focus on reading the Scripture to the church, encouraging believers and teaching them. And what Scriptures he's talking about? They didn't have the New Testament. What was he talking about? Read the Old Testament. Read the Scripture. They didn't have this New Testament. So, would it be okay to sit down and read the book of Proverbs? Would it be all right to sit down and read the book of Psalms? I mean, all those are great teachings, right? Change your life forever, right, Kim? I mean, you know that for a fact. Do not neglect the spiritual gifts that you received through the laying on of the prophecy spoken over you when the elders in the church lay their hands on you. Verse 15 and 16. Give your complete attention to these matters. Give how much of your attention? In other words, don't take the Word of God and lay it in your lap sitting there watching TV. You know, that's what we do. I mean, people do that. They sit there and, well, I'll read this. And, well, you walk in and, Kim, I've got to talk to you. I'm reading the Bible. It's okay, I can read and talk to you at the same time. No, you can't, can you? You need to give your undivided attention to the Word of God. And so he says, throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Is there ever a time that a pastor needs to not be in the Word? No. Is what all pastors teach important? Because he's teaching his people the Word of God, right, young lady? And what I'm teaching you needs to be exactly what God says, right? Amen. And if I'm teaching you exactly what God says, you can look at it and see, then you can say, well, we need to not shoot the messenger boy, we need to shoot God, right? That's the way some people think, you know that? You know, but usually they will attack us. A pastor, they'll attack us to say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. When you listen to my teachings, if I don't know what I'm talking about, then you need to take it up with God, because it's what we taught today exactly what His Word says. Yeah. Did He tell us to be pure?
Yep.
Did He tell us to walk in holiness?
Yep.
Yeah. Did He tell us we could eat anything?
Yeah.
As long as you do what with it?
Pray
over it with thanksgiving. Is that right?
Amen.
So there's not a problem with what we eat or anything. And of course, next week we will get into Romans 14. We'll talk about the day and eating, because it talks about both of them. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we're fixing to take communion today, Lord. And I praise you and thank you for what this means. And Dave has already gone over part of this. But Lord, we thank you for communion. We thank you for the bread. We thank you for the cup. We thank you for all of it. And Lord, there, as we pass out the communion elements now, we invite everybody here, if they're a born-again Christian, they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we ask you to take freely with us of this communion. In Jesus' name, amen.